I think this is our 10th study on the treatment of the bride and groom in the Song of Solomon. Tonight I want to talk to you from chapter 7, verse number 10. Chapter 7, verse number 10. I'm jumping down to chapter 7, verse 10, and I'm going to go back in the book and read several verses, and then actually, I'm not yet to chapter 7, verse 10 in our study, but to teach chapters 4, 5, and 6 on one subject tonight, I need to start with chapter 7 and verse 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. And let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to look at this little passage and passages like it throughout the book of Proverbs. Our Song of Solomon, give us tonight lessons that will help us be better husbands and better wives. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Holy Father, we come to the book. Help us to teach you to write. And from its pages tonight, may our homes, especially our marriages, be enriched, improved, and in some cases even changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the Song of Solomon. I want you to start off with chapter 4 and verse number 12. Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse number 12. Page 707. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now, we're going to talk a while tonight about that little word, garden. And don't let your mind wander now. That little word, garden. This is the first time that the garden is mentioned in the Song of Solomon. And the next time you'll find it in verse number 15. Look down to verse number 15, please. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. He is comparing here his lover to a garden. Now, it's obvious that this young man was infatuated by his garden. He had a garden that he loved, that he enjoyed, and so we continue to look at the scripture. Look, if you would please, at verse number 16, and you'll find the garden mentioned again. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, there it is again, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now, again, we have the word garden in verse 12, in verse 15, in verse 16. Look at me. This garden was very, very important to this man. It was, I think it may have been sort of an avocation, a hobby also, but you'll find in the Song of Solomon again and again, the mention of this garden. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 1, if you would, please. I'm laying the foundation now for later. Chapter 5 and verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice and eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, ye drink abundantly, O beloved. Now, in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In 6 verses, you have 4 mentions of the garden. Very important to this man. It was a place where he worked some, no doubt. Though he was a shepherd lad, at least he also tended to a garden. And it was a place where he was refreshed. It was his hobby. It was a place where he enjoyed the delicacy of the fruit and the juice that came from it. And it was a very important place to him. Now look down to chapter 6 and verse number 2. You'll find the garden mentioned again. The bride is talking here. My beloved has gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens over and over again. We have this word garden and this word gardens. Don't miss it now. This fella loved the garden. She said, my beloved has gone down to the garden. He's gone down there to the beds of spices to feed in the garden, gather lilies in the garden. And then look down to verse number 11 of chapter 6, would you please? Verse number 11 of chapter 6. I went down in the garden of nuts to see the fruits. This is in San Francisco. I went down in the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranate budded. Now, here we go, talking about the garden again. Now, you don't know where we're going after a while, but I want to lay this foundation. This garden was very important to this man. It was a hobby for him. It no doubt was a part-time job for him. It was a place of pleasure for him. It was a place of eating for him. It was a place of drinking of the juice of the fruit for him. It was a very important thing, a part of his living, a part of his pleasure, a part of his hobby. It was very, very important. Now, if you would please, look at chapter number 8 and verse number 13. Chapter 8 and verse 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens. There it is again. I do not know how many times that word garden or gardens is mentioned, or mentioned in Song of Solomon. But it says, thou that dwellest in the garden, put down there and live some. The companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Now then, look at me. We have discussed the fact that this man went down to work in the garden, to gather lilies in the garden, to work to gather fruit in the garden, to drink of the juice of the fruit of the garden, to enjoy the pleasure of the garden. What was it? It may have been his hunting trip. It may have been his golf game. It may have been his fishing hobby. But whatever it was both a vocation and a hobby. It was a place of exercise and also a place of enjoyment and extreme pleasure. Now then, don't leave me, we've seen how important this place, the garden, is to him. Now look, if you would please, at chapter number 7. Chapter number 7 and verse number 10. Right above that, you have 3 words. That's not Bible. Let's put there, Mr. Schofield. What does it say? The what? Talk to me, the what? Talk to me out loud. The what? The bride speaks. So now we have the bride speaking. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Now get this. Come, my beloved. Talking to him now. Let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There, notice this, there will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Now look, listen carefully. probably, if the number of times it's mentioned has anything to do with it, look at me, probably this garden was as important as anything in the life of this man. Now she says, let us go down to the garden. What is she saying here? She's saying, I want your interest to be my interest. One of the most important things about marriage is to have common interest in the marriage. She went down to the place to no doubt work with him in that garden. She went down to enjoy the fruit of that garden with him. She went down to enjoy the beauty of that garden with him. And she shared his interest. It says in one place, let's go forth into the field. That's relaxation. They relaxed. She went down and relaxed with him. It says, let's lodge in the villages. That's a trip. They took trips together. Their interests were the same. They enjoyed nature together. And they ate together. And the result was, she said, in verse number 12, the last line, there will I give thee my loves. Now listen to me. I promise you that most of the marital problems, the people with whom I counsel, evolve around the fact that you have not learned to share the same interests with each other. If I were a woman and I had a husband that liked football, I'd know what a T formation was. I'd know what a safety was. I'd know what a field goal was. I'd know what a halfback was. I'd know what a can't think of anything else I know. But I'd learn all about that. And if I were a man and I had a woman that loved flowers, I'd know what a safety was. I'd know what a halfback was. I'd know what a fullback was. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the honest, simple truth is they enjoyed work together. They enjoyed pleasure together. They enjoyed a little vacation time of lodging in the villages together. They ate together, and the result was affection. Now, let me give you a little skit. I've done this four or five times in these 37 years. Let me give you a little skit. Brother Price, you and your wife come here, would you please? Now, let me get my microphone here. Y'all are a couple. All right? Face me. Side by side. Okay. Now then, they're having a little spat, you can tell. They're not getting along very well. And so he turns to her and she turns to him. And he says, let's get along. But it doesn't work that way. I see our Howells Anderson College students out to college fussing at each other, and he says, what's wrong? Nothing. Yes, there is. No, nothing wrong at all. Well, you didn't write me but four notes yesterday. But now you don't get back together that way. You don't turn toward each other and make up. What do? All right, face me. You get busy together and share something together. You could share a bus route together, or you could share a meal together. Or you could share some kind of a hobby together. And so you share something, and you walk together and share something. Now, bear in mind, they weren't getting along very well. But all of a sudden, they've been sharing this, and he looks at her and says, aren't we having fun? And she says, they turn to each other, and she says, we really are having fun. See? Now, what was it? They shared some things together. Ladies, you learn about your husband's work. Men, you learn about your work. I ain't giving in, women. I ain't giving. But you learn about. Look, you learn about flower shows and not much, but a little bit, and things that women like and share the same interests. So look at that. They're holding hands now. Look at that. They, a while ago, they were fussing. How'd they get back together? They get to each other and say, let's get back together. And you get together, get together, get together, get together. You don't do it that way. You have common interests. And once you share some common interests, then you find yourself stopping to be affectionate. Oh, so they decide to get together, and now they're gonna go bowling. And so they're having a good time together, and all of a sudden, she threw the ball in the gutter, and he got a strike, which is of course the way it ought to be. And then she got a strike. It was a lucky strike. But anyway, I hate myself when I get like this. But they're having so much fun. And look at them laugh. Look at there. So they turned to each other and say, "Aren't we having fun?" Now, a while ago, they worked together. And then they have played some together. And now they decide they're going to have a little picnic together. So come on, and they're going to have a picnic. Now they're not trying to get along. They're doing things together. They're having common interests. And after picnic, look at there. They're holding hands. They're hugging. They're kissing. That's right. You see that? Thank you very much. Anybody else want to act out that part? You single men, put your hands down. That's all. Thank you. Now, it's very interesting to me. Let me read that for you again. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 7. "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field." What are they doing? They're going into the field to enjoy nature together. They may be going into the field to work in the field together. Let us. Didn't say, "Bye-bye," or "I'm going to the field." Let us go to the field. Let us lodge in the villages. And they're going for a little weekend trip, maybe, or a little two-day trip. And they're going to get a motel or a bed and breakfast place. And they're going to have a good time lodging in the villages. And let us get up early to the vineyards. And let us see if the vine flourishes. Whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranate bud forth, there will I give thee my lust. See, the giving of the affection was a result of us doing things together. Let us go down to work together for a while. Let us go down to enjoy the field for a while. Let us go down to check the fruit for a while. Listen to the young people over here. Hey, I'm talking to you too. You're not so smart. What you don't need this as much as anybody else does. And let us. And then she said, "How about a big kiss?" That's not exactly the way she worded it. She said, "There will I give thee my loves." Now, listen carefully to me. You, most of you tonight, have children at home. This big junior choir. Junior, fifth grade and sixth grade choir up here a while ago. Scores of young people up here singing. Most of you have children at home, but the day's going to come when those children are going to be gone. And the tragedy is that many of you won't know each other then. Because you've gotten so busy with the routine and the busy hubbub of life that you forgot that each other exists. And there was a day when you first got married that it was whoopsie whoopsie and lovey dovey and Gucci Gucci and all of that. And then along came the children. And the children occupied so much of your time. Now you listen to me. Don't you let your children come between you and your spouse. Don't you let your children be the third party that breaks up your marriage. I want to say a word right now. I want you to listen very carefully. The midlife crisis gets far too much credit for breaking up marriages. I do not think for a second it's caused by the midlife crisis. I think it's caused by the midlife schedule and lack of it. The midlife business, the little leagues, the cheerleaders, the high school fair, the basketball game, the youth activities, the sweetheart banquets, all the activities. And here's what's going to happen. One of these days, the last one is going to stand up here on this platform. And you're going to sow some rice and say goodbye to that last one. Now, you better be dead sure that you've nurtured
your marriage while you were in the mid-years of life.
Again, I personally think it's the best.
Hey, how old was he? How old is she?
Oh, that's about the age.
No, it's not about the age. It's about the activity time. Here's what's going to happen. You were together alone. And then a little baby came. And that baby became the object of your time and insisted that you spend time with him. And then another baby came and another. And then maybe a period of 30 years in there, 20, 25, 30 years. But the day's going to come when you're going to be alone. The day's going to come when the kids are going to be gone. Now, don't you be estranged from each other. I'm saying, while your kids are growing up, let us go down to the field. Let us visit the vineyard. Let us go up and stay in the villages. Let us play tennis together. Let us go bowling together. Let us play table games together. Let us have a bus route together. Let us share interest in life together. Don't let your children divide you. Don't let your work divide you. You can be, when children leave, like before they came, if you stay while they're there, like you were before they came. Give you an example. My wife is a very unusual person. Very unusual lady. She likes to shop. Now, I go shopping with her. It's a matter of governor on the pocketbook. I'm just kidding now. But I go shopping. When she goes down to buy a dress, I go with her. Help her pick it out. Now, what do you say? I'm saying we're doing something together. She says, do you like this at Marshall Fields? I said, no, I like the one over there at Goodwill better. A bet and vets. Oh, that pretty stores in the world. Miss Howes likes to decorate for Christmas. So I help her. I turned the lights on after she hung them on. We have a big wreath. A huge wreath. Probably about all as tall as I am. And we hang it on the front of the house. You drive by the house and you'll see it. Every time we put it up, let's call policemen to direct traffic. And so last week, I said, Miss Hounds, I'll help you put the wreath up tonight. Now, all you got to do is take the wreath, and you got to screw a little hook in the side of the house and hang the wreath on the hook. That's all you got to do. So I get the little table, a little kitchen ladder, step stool, yeah. I put it out there, and she gets up in the window. And I'm gonna raise that big old wreath
up there.
She's gonna catch it. I'd already screwed that hook in there, and she's just gonna put that thing on it. But it takes 5 minutes. Except I dropped the lights and got them all out of whack. So we took the wreath back down, took it down the basement, and took all the lights off. So far, we spent about 30 minutes doing a 5-minute job. But we haven't started yet. So, we get all the lights off. Now we're just going to put a spotlight down there in the yard. You'll see a spotlight. It shines up on that wreath. So I take the wreath back out in the front and get up on that little stool. There I am, you know. Hold it up there. Would you believe it? Somewhere up there, she hits the storm window. I look up, here comes a storm window down at me. All you had to do was put the stupid wreath on a hook. Storm window splatters flash all over the sidewalk. I jump off. Then I have to set, go in the house, do something else to read. As I go in the house, I hit a little planter about like that. It's got a big plant here and one down here. And knock it over. Now the entrance hall is full of dirt and plants. All you need to do is just hook that thing up there. That's all you need to do. So she gets the vacuum cleaner and spends about 10 minutes vacuuming the house. I want you to know I'm a handyman. We had to have the sidewalk cleaned off, glass everywhere. Had to vacuum the entrance hall, take the wreath inside the house twice, take it down to the basement once. It just took us 2 hours to hang that thing. She woke up in the middle of the night laughing at herself sick about it. So the board way asked me if it was okay to decorate the auditorium and put wreaths up for next week. I called Ms. Howes and said, you want us to do it or not? She said, let's start now for next year. Now, the truth is, the honest truth is, that we enjoyed it. We laughed together. I mean, dodging windows and kicking over plants. Now, husbands and wives ought to have interests that are alike. We like to eat out. The way we do it is this. One of us chooses three places and the other chooses which is the place. One time, she'll say, I'll say, you choose three, I'll choose one of the three. So she chooses three and I choose the one of the three that I like best. Next time I'll choose the three and she chooses the one of the three. What I'm trying to say, folks, is this. You need to do things together. Let us go down to the garden. Let us go down and work in the field. Let us go down and stay in the villages. Let us go down and pick the fruit. Let us... down and choose. Now I want to say this. Far too many of you have too many things going on that have nothing to do with your spouse. I want to give you some warnings, some dangers. Now, these are not thou shalt or thou shalt not. These are not things that I'm saying always will cause trouble. But I want to give you some danger points. I do not think it is wise. I don't get mad at me. And I'm not speaking ex cathedra here. But I think it is not wise for a man to have a weekly night out with the boys. Now, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you what I've seen break up marriages. I'm giving you what I've seen when marriages are happy, when couples are close. If you're going to have a night out, have it out with each other. I don't mean that the way it sounds. Have it out with each other. We do that too. But I'm saying, I don't think it's a good idea. And again, this is not God speaking. It's just my own opinion. But I've seen it. I've seen the danger of the fella having eating at home, sleeping at home, and romancing at home, and having his fun out with the boys. I don't think that's healthy. Everything's just quiet here tonight. Another danger, separate vacations. I'm not trying to get anything off my chest. I'm not trying to tell you what I think. I'm trying to tell you I've seen it again and again and again. It is not healthy for women to take their vacation and a man take his vacation. I'll be quite frank with you, and I may get somebody not like me here if I succeed. But honest, simple truth is, I don't think it's too good an idea if you'd go home to mama and spend a few weeks every summer. My Bible said cleave to your husband and cleave to your wife. Didn't say cleave them, says cleave to them. Now, the honest truth is, your wife ought to be your best friend. Your husband ought to be your best friend. And you ought not to be able to be gone from your husband or wife a couple of weeks at a time. Now, I wouldn't have to look over three or four times. I could just almost stop and point. And I could point to couples and young men in this room right now that are sitting by themselves whose wives are gone. I mean, their marriage is gone. Wife's taking the kids. I could point to a half dozen fellows here right now. And it all started when she started going home to mama about two or three weeks every summer. Now, the truth is, you're married, spend life with each other. I think it's a dangerous thing. Next thing I think is dangerous. Married people socializing with single people. There are certain advantages of being single. I could count hundreds of them. There are certain advantages of being married. Let me see. There are certain advantages of being married. Now, if you don't watch out, you'll want the advantages of being married plus the advantages of being single. I know fellows that got married and still run around the old motorcycle gang, and it's unhealthy for their marriage. I know women that get married still run around with the girls that are single girls they used to run around with, and that's unhealthy. They have a certain liberty that you cannot have and that you should not have, and they can do things that you should not do. And the honest, simple truth is, it's very unwise for married people to run around with single people. Again, may I say, I'm not preaching to you like I'd preach for preaching against rock music. I'm telling you that I have seen couple after couple after couple divorce, have marital problems, separate and divorce, because one party did not give up the single friends when they got married. Likewise, I can show you marriages that were terminated because of separate vacations. Look, you all love each other so much you want to go on a vacation together. Well, I don't want to say this or not. If you guys decide to go on a fishing trip, it ought not to be very long. How you doing, fellas? If you guys decide to go on a hunting trip, it shouldn't be very long. Huh?
It'd take me long to kill and come back.
If it didn't take you long to kill, then how come you stayed 2 weeks? What did you do the other rest of the time you were gone? I promise you that Ed Lapina's marital trouble started right there. Now, I'm not saying every guy takes a 10-day hunting trip away from his wife a year, he's going to get a divorce. I'm not saying that, but I am saying I've seen dozens of divorces that started right there. Fourth danger, couples pairing off. Now, right here, I almost could preach against this as much as I preach against rock music. It is very, very unwise for two couples to get together and become best friends. Take vacations together. Now, okay, look, I'm not mad at you. I don't know who does it and who doesn't. As sure as I'm sitting here, somebody's going to leave this church because they think I'm talking to you. I'm trying to help you because for 51 years I've been pastoring and preaching. For 49 years,
49 years, I've been pastoring Baptist churches. There's not a man that has ever lived that has counseled with as many people as I've counseled with. And there's not a man that's ever lived that has counseled with many people having marital problems as I have. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's a dangerous thing when two couples decide to spend their time, a lot of their time together. Fellow sees his wife at home under conditions that are necessary but not always favorable. He sees the other wife under conditions that are always favorable. She sees her own husband in home with the menial and a task of home, and she sees her own husband. He's got to get the sink unstopped. He's got to get the commode unstopped. He's got to mow the yard, and she's got to wash the dishes, and she's got to clean the house, and he's got to take the garbage out. He's got to work in the yard. I'm trying to say, then all of a sudden she go out and she sees the other fella and she doesn't see him in those negative conditions. Now, I don't know who you are, but I tell you, you're playing with dynamite. You're playing. Last question. What's so all fired wrong about you and your husband taking a trip together alone? What's wrong with that? Do you have to have somebody else so you have a good time? What's wrong with you taking a vacation with your wife? Just the two of you. I'll say it again. You're playing with dynamite. Of all the things I'm going to say tonight, this point right here is one of the most deadly points I know. We had a church secretary here years ago. She and her husband moved, left the area. Moved it down south somewhere, I think. And he was a deacon at one time here in this church. And they became too chummy with one couple. They took vacations together. Every week almost, they went somewhere together. He decided he wanted the other woman. And she decided she wanted the other man. And the other couple felt the same way, and they traded. I mean, just like you trade cars or horses. Now, I saw the women. I think one of the fellows ought to have gotten a little extra money on the side. Both marriages ruined. Both sets of children heartbroken. Their Christian testimony gone down the drain. It would never have happened if they hadn't gotten too close together as couples. Let me ask you a question. When you first started dating her, did you want to take somebody along? All this chaperone and stuff. How many of you guys, how was there in college, you want a date, and you, of course you got to have a chaperone. But you play on the date and he'll have a heart attack and die. That's because you want to be alone with that pretty little girl. We're not going to let you. But that's because you are. Now, the honest, simple truth is, why wouldn't you want to be alone with her 10 years from now? Or 51 years from now? Be buddies. Be friends. Be pals. Work together. Laugh together. Play together. Enjoy things together. Then, I think it's a dangerous thing to have regular hobbies apart. You know who would be a good golf partner for you? Your wife? Oh, that's so fun. You got the wrong wife. I mean, you said it hurts my score. Yeah, but it helps your blood pressure. Now, the honest, simple truth is, the couples of America hardly know each other. She goes off and works somewhere all day. He goes off work somewhere all day. They come home. They got their activities at night. They got the kids to think about at night.
And the honest, simple truth is they hardly know each other. Let me tell you, couples that have children, how to have a good vacation sometime. We did this years ago, years and years and years, back in another dispensation. Years ago. Our children were small. Ms. Niles and I took 2 weeks off. We went to Colorado together, just the two of us. Left the kids at home. And we had a time. We climbed mountains together. We went horseback riding together. We went bowling together. We went fishing together. And praise God, they didn't have a flower show in Colorado. I've said five things so far, five things. Dangers. Not out with the boys or girls. Separate vacations. Socializing with single people. Two couples pairing off. Regular hobbies apart. And then I want to say this. It's dangerous for you to have your best friend, somebody beside your mate. The best friend you have ought to be that woman sitting out there beside you. And the best friend you have ought to be that man sitting out there beside you. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about pals. I'm talking about buddies. Bill Burr said something. You're worried, aren't you, Bill? I'm not going to tell him all that bad stuff. He said something that I thought was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard said. We were going to the Philippines. And he said, concerning his wife, we're going there to preach. He said, I honestly believe that my wife could be happy with me if we were the only two people that lived on an island. I love that. I think my wife would be happy if we were the only two people that lived on an island. I love that. I love it. You know, back in the early days when America was rural, Mama didn't get to go much anywhere at all. They got to know each other. And Daddy worked out in the field, came in for lunch, and came back in for supper. They had breakfast together. And at night, they came in, sat around the wood stove, played dominoes. My wife and I still play dominoes. I told her the other day, 2 o'clock in the morning. If she tells me she loves me, she pats me on the shoulder and says, I told you lately that I love you. 2 o'clock in the morning, she tapped me on the shoulder. I thought, good night. She said, have I told you lately that I beat you in dominoes tonight? Yes, yeah, she's told me lately since then, too, several times. But whatever happened to Chinese checkers? Whatever happened to checkers? Whatever happened to pick up sticks? Whatever happened to dominoes? Whatever happened to croquet? Whatever happened to taking a walk around the block? Listen to me now. Hey, listen to me. Whatever happened to swinging in the backyard? Whatever happened to taking a drive in the woods? Whatever happened to taking a drive and watching the Christmas tree lights? Whatever happened to stuff like that? Now listen to me carefully. I'd like you to meet somebody tonight. I'd like you to meet somebody that you fell in love with one time. I'd like you to meet somebody that when you first started going with each other, when you weren't together, all you did was think about her. And when you first got married, it took you 30 minutes to say goodbye. And another 30 minutes to say hello. I'd like for you to meet her again. She's still there. She's still there. And there are 10,000 reasons why you should love her more now than you did. Not the least of which, she's borne you a child or more. Not the least of which, she went in the jaws of death to give you a child. Not the least of which, she stood beside you and she's been loyal to you and faithful to you for all these years. And that fellow that dream boat that you dated back yonder, well, you couldn't wait till you saw him and you hated to say goodnight. Man, we were dating. We didn't have a car. I rode the bus home. Man, I knew what time that last bus took off, and I won't tell you what time it was. But it, took off right in front of your house, Joe, on Marsalis Street, and Sainer, just about a block up your house. And that's where I caught the bus. I'll tell you, it was the hardest thing in the world to say goodbye to that girl. Well, she's sitting up here on the front row of the choir tonight. As pretty as she was then. As sweet as she was then. Why shouldn't I have a hard time leaving on Monday morning when I go preach somewhere? Whatever happened to you? I said, what happened to you? Tell you exactly what happened. You got caught up with the busy schedule of life. And all the things that came and came up and emergencies and activities. And I will say this too. A lot of you folks ought to cancel about half your Christmas parties this year. And spend time together. Christmas Eve, we always go look at the lights. Last year we were driving around looking at the lights. It was Christmas Eve. I looked at my watch, it was about 9 o'clock. I got thinking about the days when the kids were home. And I had a tear rolled down my cheek. Kids all gone. We don't attach tab A to slot B anymore. And try to put a electric train together with instructions for an electric razor assembly. I restored and put my hand on Ms. Hyle's hand. I said, you feel nostalgic now? Thinking about when the kids were home? About right now, we're decorating, getting everything all ready for next morning. I said, you feel nostalgic? She said, not me! She said, having to cook a turkey tomorrow? How? Not me. She said, I like this better. And I like what she said real well, too. Now, you listen, folks. If you don't get acquainted with each other, when you get our age, you're going to be enemies. I can testify to that. You're going to be enemies. I'm saying, don't lose your husband. And this little lady, she said, let us go down to the field. Let us go down to the fruit, the orchard. Let us go down to the garden. Let us go spend some time with each other in the villages. Let us take a little trip together. Let us take a vacation together. Let us share work together. Let us share hobbies together. Let us share pleasures together. I'm giving you seven dangers. One, not out with the boys or the girls. Two, separate vacations. Three, socializing with single people. Four, two couples pairing off with each other. Five, regular hobbies apart. Six, having a best friend that's not your mate. And seven, too many group activities. Too many group activities. Do you know what your favorite night ought to be? The two of you together. You want your favorite meal ought to be? Sitting together in a restaurant with each other. You want your favorite pleasure ought to be? Enjoying a game with each other. Now, listen carefully. I like that part. I like that part. Get this. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyard. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grapes appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The affection, the tenderness, and the lovemaking was a result of us. Let us work together. Let us play together. Let us walk together. Let us spend some time on a trip together. Let us enjoy the fruit together. Let us have our hobby together. And she said, I'll give you some smooching. She said, come here, big boy. I'll give you some smooching. Because they have been sharing some things in life. Look at me, and I'm through. I've been preaching too long. I don't mean tonight. But I've been preaching too long. I know you too well. I can hardly look anywhere without seeing couples with whom I've counseled. Let me tell you, you go to some preacher and say, we're having trouble. Well, what you ought to do is go to the throne of grace. Yep, you ought to go to the throne of grace, but you can go to the throne of grace all you want to. But if you don't go to Cracker Barrel together, you're going to have problems. On your way to the throne of grace, stop over at Cracker Barrel. All over this room, I see people who have been who are divorced, and I love you. And nobody in this room that's divorced tonight is anything other than the object of my love, and I'm honored to be your pastor. But I remember when your marriage started having troubles. And others of you that barely made it, but you're back together now and you're happy. I recall where it all started. It all started when it was not us. He had a garden. He loved it. He went down there. He worked in it. He played in it. It was his pleasure. It was his hobby. His avocation. It was big for him. And she had enough sense to say, let's go down to the garden together. And by the way, after we've been down to the garden together, there's a nice little motel downtown. Let's go down there and spend the night with each other. And by the way, let's get up early and take a walk down the vineyard and let's see how the garden is. Let us share your interest. That's what she did. And that's what you ought to do. Now listen carefully to me. All the fun, all the laughter, I don't think God's upset because we enjoyed tonight. But what I want more than I want anything else, I want you couples to get close to each other. I want you couples, I don't care if you're 20 or 80, I want you to get close to each other. I want you to find out that she's still got two lips. I want you to find out that he's still got two arms. I want you to find out that he's still a nice guy. And she's still a nice gal. And I'd like to think through these 10, 12, 14 studies we're having, the Song of Solomon, I'd like to think that a lot of couples would be happier. I'll never forget, and I'll close with this, I'll never forget what I heard on Father's Day. Not sure if it was this year or last year. I was driving to church and had the news station on, and the sportscast came on, and they were interviewing a big black football player. He weighed over 300 pounds, played the Chicago Bears. And the announcer said, this is Father's Day. He said, what is the best thing your father ever did for you? And this big old black fella quickly said, love my mother. The best thing my father ever did for me was love my mother. I want you to fall in love with your children's mother. I want you to fall in love with your children's father. I want you to get close to each other. I want you to share life, its work, its joys, its pleasures, its laughter, its tears. Let us go down to the fields and work. Let us go down to the garden and have pleasure. Let us go to town to the villages and spend a night together. Let us laugh together. Let us weep together. Let us enjoy each other. A lot of you couples need to rearrange your schedules and reorganize your lives to where you spend time with each other, as was the case of this man and this woman, young man and this young woman. Let us. Let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyard. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranate bud forth. There will I give thee my love. Shall we stand, please?